Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hi, and welcome to the Get Real Podcast. I'm Lori Arnold. I am the worship director at Real Life Ministries Texas, and I'm here with my friend and my pastor, Brandon Ginden.
Hey everyone. We are so glad that you're here and joining us for our podcast. And we have been in this series of the Get Real Podcast about living out essentials. What are some of these essential elements, values that Jesus modeled for us as disciples, as followers of him, that of what this looks like to live an intentional life?
Yeah.
And we're going to be concluding that series today with a topic that's about unity. It's about us functioning as a team. And Lori, when we've talked about this topic, it's really the byproduct of the first six.
Yeah.
Right. So if we're abiding in Christ and we're living in this, and Jesus is filling us up and we're close and connected to the vine, all of that, then we start to really see the world around us more and more, and we share our faith. So we reach lost people, that second essential. And then we notice that when people are gone and they're not there, and we care about them. And we talked about that, about, you know, chasing strays and people that wander off and going after them, because it matters, and it matters to the Lord. And we play a part in that. And it's not just something that we have to do. It's a calling for us to go do that and care. And then the next one that we spent time on was connecting unconnected people. What does it mean to be unconnected, and how disconnected people often are in their Christian walk, that we need each other? And then we looked at shepherding people towards spiritual maturity and how we do that. How do we actually shepherd people in a direction? And what does maturity mean? And we had this whole discussion about that spiritual maturity is really growing in your love for God and love for others, and how we shepherd people in that. And then we had the great discussion with your friend Jenny and looking at how we raise up and release. And that was just such a fun discussion. And that really kind of being the end, if you will, of this reproducible process and living intentional in our lives. And when we're doing those things and we're all focused on it, whether it be in my own home with Amber and I, with our kids, that we're living out those things, and we're in that stage now where we're raising up and we are literally releasing. Yes. We're about to be empty nesters and send all four of them out to out into the world. Heaven help us. but that even whether it be in our home, whether it be in the small group that we are in, whether it be if we're on staff at a church and we lead a ministry, that all six of those values are something that has to be who we are.
Right.
And when all of us are living that out together, we have a common purpose and a focus. And I think we accomplish what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, when he prays for his church, for us to be one.
Yeah.
He says, Father, as you and I are one, that they may be one. And I think the critical part of that is Jesus says, if that we will be one, then the whole world will come to know me. Mm. And when I think about the principle of evangelism and reaching the lost world, that there is no greater evangelistic tool that we have than to function as a team, to be unified. And that just gets overlooked. So we develop all these programs in the church or our small group. We're going to go, you know, serve the community in some way and we're going to help people or whatever. And those things are all good.
Right.
It's not that we shouldn't do them. But to remember, our very first, most important part is that we function as a team, that we're unified, that we love each other, that we live all of those things out. And so today, that's what we're talking about and what that looks like in our lives. And so, Lori, I want to bring this up to you because it's something I've always loved about watching you as you lead. And I think if you've listened to our podcast for very long, you know that of the two of us, Lori's the fun one, right? She's the fun. She's the, right? I'm kind of like, if we were going to, she's good cop on bad cop kind of thing, right?
Probably so.
She's the fun one. And it's true when you watch, like, lots of people want to be on Lori's team, on our staff, if we're doing an event. It doesn't take very long and everybody wants to be on Lori's team. because wherever Lori goes, Lori's having fun. And yes, it's awesome. It's awesome. And so I'm in seriousness of all that, Lori, how have you built that kind of culture? Like this unity, and people do want to function as a team that are part of what you do, whether it be volunteering or in your small group or whatever. So maybe speak to that about you creating that culture and functioning as a team.
So I think the first thing is just being real with people, just being my true self, because I think a lot of times people look to leaders in the church as these stuffy, just, you know, just super serious all the time, all this head knowledge people, you know, and I'm a real person and I like to have a lot of fun, you know, and even people, even recently, somebody actually mentioned it a couple weeks ago to me that who's actually on the worship team. And he's like, man, at first I was all scared around you and I was kind of intimidated because I think he came in with that same mindset.
Yeah.
He goes, and then I got to know you. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, because this is what it is. And I just believe that if I am transparent with them and just I let down some of my guard, you know, and just have fun and be real with people. Just get real with them.
Sure.
You know, that's for me, that's the first thing. And I've seen, even when I'm talking to people just one-on-one, as I do that, as I let down my guard, theirs comes down too.
Sure.
You know, I'm not asking them to do anything. It's just something that happens naturally. And so whether in Malaysia that happened and it happened here in Houston, it's wherever, you know? Right. So that's really, really important to me.
Yeah. Do you think the principle in small group, you said, or in your ministry, I think it can be in our personal relationships, and is this principle of the people around you will be as transparent as you are. They'll go as deep as you're willing to go.
Yeah.
Now there's, I want to say there's also being appropriate. Like we don't air out all of our dirty laundry with everybody everywhere all the time, right? That's certain, okay, we need to have some, you know, awareness and some of those things. But what I'm hearing you say is you let your guard down, kind of those walls, and people will as well. And so maybe speak to that a bit about that principle of the people around you will be as transparent as you are.
Oh yeah. And as I kind of just mentioned, I remember being in Malaysia and being so scared to go into a completely different culture, not knowing what it was going to be like in a room full of strangers and leading a small group and where we're going to have some tough questions.
Yeah.
And there were times that I had to intentionally ask or answer a question first, you know, and then other people would feel safe to do the same thing.
Yep.
So as I'm being transparent, they're saying, oh, wow, this is a safe place. She feels comfortable doing this. So I can do it too, you know, and that builds trust and it just creates that safe environment for people to feel comfortable.
Right, right. And so I think, I mean, in the team aspect, functioning as a team, you know, in my life, I've had the opportunity to be on a lot of teams, whether it be through high school or college playing football or then in the church and just lots of teams. And that principle of you don't have a team if you don't have trust.
Yeah.
Where you can count on each other. You may not necessarily get along perfectly with everybody on the team all the time, but there has to be trust there, some relational trust that you're going to do your part, that you're not going to bail when things get tough, you know, all of those things. I remember, and I've wrote on this, I think in a couple different books and podcasts, or I mean blogs and different things, is I remember the principle that if I was playing football and I was on defense and I looked across and saw the offense in the huddle, them fighting in the huddle, pushing each other, or you could hear them fighting or arguing or whatever, it didn't matter what the scoreboard was at that moment.
Yeah.
The game's over. Like we knew we had them beat. Mm-hmm. And that's can be so true. You know, even in the church, to function as a team, I think that's what the devil does, is he gets us fighting over silly things.
Oh, yeah.
And when we start to fight, the rest of the world looks at the church and goes, you don't even like each other. Why would I want to be a part of what you got going? Like, no thanks. I got plenty of that out here in the world. And so this idea of functioning as a team is, to me, so much more than just you know, this kumbaya, oh, you know, we're all perfect in harmony together, because that's not it either.
No.
It takes a lot of work to build that trust to what you're talking about.
Right.
And so when it comes to your small groups that you lead, how have you kept some of that unity, whether it be in your ministry,
right,
worship team, whether it be in your small group, or maybe even some discipling one-on-one with somebody or your kids, or speak to how you have kept that unity.
Yeah. Just being open, once again, being open, transparent, keeping communication lines open as well. So if I see somebody drifting, if I see somebody wandering off, you know, I try to reel them back in. I call them, I text them, see how they're doing, what's going on, you know, make sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. I believe in getting together with people and having lunch.
Sure.
You know, lots of folks like to eat. Yeah. I do. So, you know, win-win situation, lunch and friends.
You wear a lot of shirts that have tacos on them.
I do.
Tacos solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, they do. So my favorite one is the one that says, "Want to talk about Jesus?" It's really great. It's my favorite. But yeah, I love getting together with people to meet one-on-one, and especially with my worship team people, because there's such value in having that relationship with each person on my team, but it also does something for their value as in being a team member.
Sure.
Like it helps lift them up as well. And they tend to walk away feeling seen and heard.
Yeah.
And they come back to the whole better.
Right.
So even though it's just one-on-one with us, they come back to the team whole. And so, and I'm not saying it's always perfect and pretty and rainbows and, you know, because it's not.
Right.
But I try to fight for those things. And I try to be really intentional with making the time to do that. I honestly don't do it as much as I would like to, but I am very intentional about doing that. It's super important to me. I want to ask you though.
Okay.
Because we're talking about, you know, functioning as a team and how it can be hard, which is true. But I'm thinking about our team as a staff and been walking this journey for a long time. We've seen all kinds of things happen, you know, but when we started, usually, first of all, the people that help go and plant churches are leaders, strong, opinionated leaders, you know? So I wanted to ask you, what has helped you to keep all of us together and moving forward?
It's a great, great question. I think, yes, it applies to, it applies on a lot of levels. We can apply it to a small group. We can apply it to, I think, even to the home, parenting our kids, having a healthy family. But in this context, let's talk about the church. Is I think first and foremost, you have to know what the win is. What are we all trying to go and accomplish together?
Yeah.
And I believe that that win is not optional. Jesus, it's the King's win. He handed it to us and told us, here's what the win is.
Yeah.
So I don't get to pick the win, but I know what the win is. The win is to accomplish the Great Commission. The win is all of those values that we talked about as being lived out, being a disciple that makes a disciple, because that's how we go and accomplish the Great Commission that Jesus gave to us. So what happens so often in the church is one person thinks it's all about Bible education. The next person thinks it's all about evangelism and we got to reach the lost.
Yeah.
One person thinks it's all about, well, the American, I've heard this before, by the way, I'm using real examples. We have this idea that, you know what? The American church is dead. So let's just send everything overseas. It's all about missions, right? Or no, it's all about, we're going to love our neighbor and we're going to go serve the hurting.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And yes, Bible education is really important. We need to have that in the church. Serving our neighbor is critical. It's part of being the hands and feet of Christ. Caring about what's happening in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth is also important.
Yeah.
All of those aspects in and of itself are okay, but they're parts of the greater picture.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was knowing very clearly, what is the win? What's our true north? Our true north is our relationship with God and relationship with each other. And in that, accomplishing the Great Commission. So anything that would come in to our, whether it be our small group that started in my backyard,
yeah.
and you and Kevin being there in the home and us mm-hmm. praying for this church, the very beginning, anything that would come in that would take us away from that, that was a hill I'm willing to die on.
Yeah, it's good.
And so for Amber and I in the discipling of our kids, at the end of the day, what is the end goal for all four of our children? Is to be the greatest disciple makers that they possibly can be. Mm. It's not to be the best doctor, not to be the best teacher, not even be the best pastor or best softball player, or that's not the goal.
Yeah.
Those are all means.
That's great.
The end goal is to be great disciple makers. And so we structured literally like as best we could our whole family around that. And so I think it applies in small group. It applies in our church. It applies in who we, that's why we talk about it. It becomes who we are.
Yeah.
So when things come in that are counterfeit of that or in conflict with that, then we're going to hold that line and not allow that to distract us. And so, you know, one of the phrases that we use is bang the drum.
Yeah.
Bang the drum, bang the drum. Mm-hmm. And you guys on around me, like I do, I say, I get bored saying it sometimes. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I don't have to say this again. And you all, Lisa, yes. Tommy, you specialize in it. No, say it again. Say yeah. it again. We have to keep saying this. And that's what brings unity.
Yeah,
it's good. It doesn't mean that we're not going to disagree. It doesn't mean that we may have different perspectives on how to accomplish the Great Commission, like some stylistic things about group or about curriculum or some of those maybe subsidiary things mm-hmm. to accomplishing it. That we're not going to fight and disagree and have struggles, but we're going to work through those because at the end of the day, accomplishing the Great Commission is priority over whatever my personal preference might be.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's, I think, how to help our team stay focused, keep moving down the road, and all of us to not just, and well, let me say this, that doesn't happen unless we're intentional. We have
sure.
to have an intentional life. That's why we're doing this podcast. Is what if there's things that distract from that in my life and pull me off over into the weeds of culture, or you know, get me focused on things that just that don't equal that. At the end of the day, yeah. I've got to really consider should I have that in my day. Hmm. So you may be a teacher, you may be whatever your profession is, and that's great. That's your mission field.
Yeah.
And so in that mission field, yes, I am maybe the CEO of a company. Great. Be the greatest CEO you can be. But remember, that's your mission field and be intentional with that. And at the end of the day, being able to influence, help, guide, mentor, invest in your employees in hopes that they would become great disciple makers.
Yeah, that's so too. Good.
So that's kind of how we navigate, I think, through the hard, how I try to help us all navigate, you know, through the hard. I want to go back to something you said, because you've seen this in me mm-hmm. about keep, you said, let's keep the main thing, the main thing.
Yeah.
And so think about that for you, maybe in your ministry, mm-hmm. How you have helped. You've had different agendas come in.
Oh yeah.
You've had people that have, hey, I want to do this with your small group, or I want to do this with the worship ministry, or hey, I want to help it, or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. How have you been able to keep the main thing, the main thing?
It's a great question. You know, communicating with my team, mm-hmm. We have a meeting coming up next month, yeah. you know, just yeah. to make sure we're all on the same page. We mm-hmm. have the same goal in mind. Something that I see a lot in churches, unfortunately, when it comes to worship teams, praise bands, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. People come and it's like they're doing a gig. Mm-hmm. It's just a gig. And so I have made it a point to, for one, we don't separate our tech people from the people that are on the platform. We are all a part of the worship team here.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's bad if you do it the other way, but for us, this is what works. Mm-hmm. And every single person, because I want to create a bridge from the front of the room to the back of the room, right? A lot of times I'll see people operating in these silos and the tech team doesn't talk to the worship team. And I try really hard to guard that and protect our team, you know, from doing that. And so I have events plan that we'll do together. Hmm. On Sunday mornings during one of our three services, we get together and we huddle up and we pray together. We check in with one another to make sure to see how everybody's doing, how yeah. we can be praying for each other.
That's great.
And so just fighting for that relationship and that unity. And there have been times that stuff's been off and I can tell there's tension, whether it's with me and somebody else or with somebody else on the team and whatever they're going through. And I've had to stop before we start service. And I'm like, we got to get together.
Right.
And we're going to pray right now because
right.
we are not unified.
Right.
And I refuse to get up on any platform, especially
right.
and lead people in worship of our one true God. And we are not unified.
Yeah. Well, that's so good, because when you think about the intentionality that requires you to do, you're paying attention to so many things. Is there relational tension? Is there, and I'm not willing to. Because in the flesh, we don't want to typically have that conflict.
Right.
Like, we don't want to go work through that.
Yeah.
But you are putting the kingdom and the purpose of the kingdom and the glorification of Christ ahead of your own personal feelings yeah. about it, about in that moment, and willing to push through it. So you're fighting for us functioning as a team
yeah.
ahead of how you feel.
Right.
And I think that is a part of it. If I go to, you know, back to my example and early on in the church when, you know, we're meeting in this small group and we had a couple that joined us that theologically was very different, super nice people, friends of mine, and they came in but had a very strong feeling about a very specific theology that was going to take us away from what I believe accomplishing the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And I had to make a choice between comfort, meaning
right.
what seemed like comfort in the moment, no mm-hmm. disagreement, or taking him off to the side and over lunch, having a conversation going, I don't think we're going to be able to do this together.
Yeah.
And it was sad. And he wasn't willing to change his direction and I'm not going to change mine. And so yeah. we had to part ways.
Yeah.
We remained friends and it was hard, but I think God honored that because it protected where I felt God, or I believe the scriptures called us to go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you did the same thing in whether it be in that room, praying with your team mm-hmm. is guarding against and knowing we have to function as a team.
Yeah.
And I think for people to understand that when the world looks at the church, I think so many people reject Christ and the church because they're not seeing the real Jesus. Mm. They're seeing a dysfunctional image of what if it's not who the church is supposed, yeah. what the church is supposed to be yeah. or who is representing.
We're supposed to be different.
Correct. Very different. And so it takes a lot of these essentials that we've talked about living out. So any other kind of final thoughts here, Lori, as we wrap up on this issue of remaining a team?
You know, the one thing that I have thought about is we talked about how sometimes it can be hard. And sometimes that requires making hard decisions.
Yeah.
And having hard conversations with people in order to function as a team, in order to keep unity. And you have to be willing to do that. And sometimes, unfortunately, as you had to part ways with your friend, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage people that are in those situations that just because it may look and feel unpleasant, that might be what is absolutely best for your team. But also, regardless of where you are, if you are in a sticky mess and you are feeling like I don't have that with anybody, you know, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to get connected in your small group, wherever you may be, and be that person, you know, that is the person that's going to fight for that unity, you know, be that person.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's my encouragement.
Yeah. And I would add to that as well is sometimes we think by avoiding a conflict that's unity.
Yeah.
And the conflict is going to come out eventually. And sometimes we think we're trying to, you know, we're just appeasing and it's going to be there. And
yeah.
To just encourage, out of humility and love, to walk in, not demanding, and to be willing to have a hard conversation, like you were saying, within hopes of bringing unity.
Yeah.
And And I want to encourage people that when things get hard, and I'm talking, there are certainly times when we need to part ways. There's something very unbiblical.
Yeah.
There's heresy, or there's abuse, or there's, you know, there's really extreme situations. I don't think what we're talking about.
Right.
What we're talking about is us trying to live out the Great Commission, be intentional in our lives, and function together as a team. And when we have those disagreements or views on certain things, that we're just willing to have those conversations.
Yes.
And we're willing to step into the heart, and we're willing to say, you know, this is what God's called us to do.
Yes.
We're not going to compromise and be willing to have those conversations.
Yes, 100%.
Awesome. Well, God bless you all. And as we say, every single podcast is just our hope is to help you to be more intentional as a follower of Christ and being a disciple and growing and learning to make other disciples as Jesus calls us to. And so God bless you all.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.